Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. Hey, as a civilized world, we've done an amazing job creating systems that keep us up to date, in the loop, and connected with everything that we need. The evolution of technology in the course of my life has just simply been amazing. So this week, I want to have us collectively reflect on what to do about the systems that we have in place that have made us so connected that it seems impossible to disconnect. We're going to have this discussion from two perspectives, the adults and the kids. The smartphone, with all the wonderful apps, has allowed us to be constantly in touch with what we choose is important. I get push alerts from newspapers, cable news outlets, public radio, Rolling Stone, weather, traffic and sports, the Brewers, the Bucks, the Packers, the Badgers, the Marquette basketball team, Manchester United, and Bayern Munich soccer. I'm an Apple guy, so I have a Mac computer that syncs seamlessly with my phone and my iPad. The phone syncs with my watch, and my watch with my AirPods. Now, I'm not, as the kids say, flexing here. I'm just stating that if I'm awake, I'm being alerted. Constant news and push notices, alerts when I have 10 or more unread emails, and regular reminders that I have unread tweets, Facebook notices, Instagram posts, and unresolved snaps. About 4 months ago, I was in my friend Tim's office, and we were having a coaching conversation, and I kept looking down at my watch, and he asked me if I needed to get going. I said, no, why? I'm just getting alerts and texts on my watch. He looked at me and simply said, I'm not sure if you're aware of how rude that actually looks. I got in the car and silenced all of the notices to my watch because it hit me that I could wait to hear that an athlete was on the DL, that my friends posted a funny video of their kid, that my furnace just kicked in because people were in our house. It made me really think, what the heck do I need all this for? I realized that I was walking around anxiously worrying about all the stuff coming up on my watch, that I was being short or rude with others because I felt the weight of unread emails and was reminded by my watch, my phone, and my computer of all the things I needed to do. I was nervous thinking about when I was going to get to all of this information, and I wasn't really present for the person in front of me. I imagined it felt to people the way I feel when I'm at a store and the clerk answers the phone and gives the person on the phone 5 minutes while I just simply stand there. So these systems we have developed for ourselves, the systems where we are constantly pressured to respond, monitor, and post, what are the effects for people? Well, two things. First, the relationships between parents and kids are impacted as a result, and there are very few positive effects of technology on the mental health of those that use it. So here's some irony. Last week I was driving, my watch buzzed, and I looked on the screen in my car that has Apple Play. I can't escape the world of Apple. And the headline was from the Wall Street Journal, and this is what it said. The new parental obsession, checking kids' grades online. I flagged it and read it as soon as I pulled over. The article was confirmation of something I've observed in my own home. The author, Julie Jargon, skillfully lays out what any parent with kids in school with online gradings already knows. These regular alerts to parents have increased anxiety for the kids, the parents, and the teachers. An unforeseen consequence in online grading that I've experienced is what I call the gap in the narrative. Here's how it plays out. Fictionally, of course. Mom is at work and she gets a push alert on her phone. The alert says grade entered in communication 9. Mom clicks on the alert and it says 0, and the current grade in the course is now a D+. Mom panics and sends a text to her daughter, telling her she better get her work in and that she's disappointed. The daughter steps into the hallway between classes, opens up her phone, sees an upsetting text from mom, has a panic attack, walks down to the teacher and asks why she has a 0. The teacher says, "You don't have a 0." And the kid says, "My mom just texted me that I do." And the teacher rolls her eyes. Tells the kid that she put the assignment in the gradebook as a holder and that she will grade her paper right away so that the daughter is not in trouble. In the meantime, the mother has a gap in her narrative, is upset about the grade and waiting impatiently for a response, but decides instead not to wait for the kid to fix her problem, but to email the teacher a note inquiring as to why this happened. Now, 3 people's lives have been disrupted. 2 people are anxious and not looking forward to the inevitable confrontation at home, and in the meantime, the teacher is trying to read and grade the paper to save the kid's caboose and now has to reply to an email. Most likely after the school day or in the evening, which further fuels the parents' anxiety. If that sounds nuts, It is, but it isn't. That plays out all day, every day across the world, and it is leading to issues, broken relationships, increased need to email, and anxiety. I'm not even sharing the full-blown nut job that spins something so dark into their narrative that they end up calling the principal, demanding that he or she go out and find out what's going on, and they'll hold until they get an answer. I'm about to sound like a million-year-old man, but when I was a teacher, I had a red gradebook. It was filled in with pencil, and parents were communicated their students' progress each quarter. At mid-quarters, I would meet with my students and share with them their progress so they could either address their shortcomings or share with their parents how well they were doing. Kids who were significantly behind, unfortunately, usually went home to a surprise because during the day, I had called their parents. That process I used to take a week. Now, all of that happens in a second. Ugh, I can't even imagine what it's like to be a student when my entire daily effort is sent to my parents in live time, and now my parents are on me about my progress. Parents are not equipped to support their kids with all academic areas, and kids get one of three responses when they walk in the door when they get home. Some get caring questions. What do you need? How can we help you? Some get concerned interventions. Sit down and do this. And some get angry, frustrated, yelling, and family humiliation strategies. So what are the effects of all this? Well, according to Dr. Scott Becker at Michigan State University, the complete adoption of technology has led to increased media exposure, sleep issues, attention, memory, and learning problems, anxiety, addiction to technology, depression, emotion regulation issues, identity and relationship conflict, growing lack of empathy, and becoming a narcissist. Did you hear what I just said? Increased media exposure, sleep issues, attention, narcissism, lack of empathy, regulation issues, conflict. If I could take you back in a time machine on the day you got your first smartphone and you were giddy thinking, oh my gosh, this has all my contacts in it, my music, it's a TV, it has apps to get me to coffee shops anywhere in the world. And I said, hey, slow your roll, bucko. Here's what it creates. Anxiety, lack of empathy, narcissism, an unbelievable and overwhelming desire to constantly take a picture of yourself. What would you do? So now let's look at the impact on adults. Same thing, right? A constant need to be checking your email, answering texts, looking at social media. A weight on you of worry because you want to see if there's anything you missed. I scold my kids about their phones all the time, but the other day, Grace pointed out one of my behaviors. See, when we pull in the driveway as a family, and then, like maybe 10 minutes later, I walk into the house after they've already been in there. Why? Because while taking the drive, all I was thinking about was my emails, tweets, and texts. Then I end up sitting in the car like a nut, and I read and respond. And then I get a push alert to watch some video of Jimmy Fallon, and then I'm trapped in the car for another 10 minutes, usually laughing at something Jimmy Fallon and Justin Timberlake are doing. But anyways, was it worth it? What is wrong with us? Why aren't there systems to control the systems? Why is it left to me to try to balance myself when I know every minute there's someone emailing me, texting me, or posting something that I absolutely have to have? This was all reaffirmed for me in the last couple of weeks as I collected data on those that I serve. I asked over 100 school administrators to tell me a few things. I used a consensogram tool and had them post dots on a visual indicator to tell me the following. How many hours of work do you work each week, including the time you answer emails at home? How many emails do you get a day that you legitimately have to answer? How many hours a week do you take for yourself? And how many nights a week are you obligated to be at your school or in your office? After asking principals, district office staff, and superintendents to participate, here's what I learned. The answer to how many hours a week do they work was an average of 65 hours. How many emails do you get averaged at 75 a day that they have to respond to? How many hours a week do you take for yourself? Very sad. 4. And how many nights a week are you obligated to be at your school? The average for that was 3. Now, I don't even want to do this study for teachers. Well, I don't have to. I watch my beautiful wife spend almost every waking moment planning, responding, and grading. So I'm going to say that teachers exceed what you just heard, with maybe one exception, that the administrators have to stay at the school while most of the teachers are at home working. But they are both working. So what is the solution? Well, here is my challenge to all of you. First, remember that a leader is anyone who has influence over another, and a buffalo leader is someone who charges into the storm. So when I saw the data and listened to those I serve articulate that the world of technology has led to people not having patience, that there is a stifling weight knowing there are emails, and that people feel they can't disconnect for fear that they'll miss something, well, when I heard that, I remembered, hey, not only am I a leader, I actually have some authority in my organization, and I can do something to help my colleagues with their addiction to technology. Yeah, I said addiction. You can't get away. And when you do, it feels like a big deal. And you tell everyone. You ever run into somebody who says, oh, it felt so good yesterday. I didn't look at my email all day. What the heck? That should be how it is on the weekends. That should be how it is in the evenings. So here's my challenge. Live between the sevens. Yep. Live between the sevens. And if you have system authority, make it happen. And here's what I did. At CISA 6, where I'm the CEO and executive director, I checked with my executive colleagues, Debbie, Jean-Marie, and Jason, and then I declared that our system will be shut off between the sevens in the evening and on during the sevens during the daytime. That's right, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., you have access to email. 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., no emails. The server will be off, and it will only be on for 4 hours on Saturday, and it will not be on Sundays and holidays. Why? Well, I've learned that if we ask people to create a norm that they try not to email after 7 or on weekends, there are still constant infractions. This causes others to feel that they need to keep checking, and the cycle may slow, but it will never end. But what if you knew that you were not able to even get an email after 7 o'clock? That there would be no emails on weekends and no emails on holidays? What if you knew you didn't have to worry? Voluntary enforcement leads to issues. People reporting each other, people getting upset, people forgetting about it and just deciding to go ahead. But when you create the conditions where you ask people, please don't check your email, guess what? People will still feel that addiction. Now, when you create the condition that you can't check your email, well, you won't. You can't be addicted to something you can't have. This has been going on for 6 years with a bunch of German global companies, and it's actually now the law in France. Too many people have work-related anxiety. Too many people have no balance. Too many people won't stop working because they can't. Who is looking out for the teachers, the service leaders, the other leaders? If no one will create a system to control the other systems, how can we ever get control back? Lastly, and most frighteningly, Chris, our director of technology, when I told him what I expected, he went out and did some research. Then he came back to me and he told me that he contacted Google and told them our vision. Google then told him, no one's ever asked us for this before, so Google themselves doesn't even have a solution. Well, we're working on it, and starting November 15th, if you email me at 7 p.m., I won't get it till the next day. Reason? We want balance. We want a break from the addiction to the work. We want employees to feel valued, respected, and protected. And we want to take that anxious weight off the people we love and work with. I challenge you to do the same in your organization. No more push alerts to parents about the grade books at night. That leads to less emails for teachers and less anxious kids. No access to emails after 7 supports the balance and families of those we serve. And most importantly, and when I say it out loud, it'll sound incredibly insane, it reduces the email work week from 168 hours of access and interruption to only 64, which still sounds like too much. But if we want our kids to step away from their devices, have balance in a life where they don't grow up to be narcissistic, fish-lip photo posters who suffer from technology-induced and sleep-deprived anxiety, well, we have to model it to our families and friends that we don't need to be on our devices all the time. And if our work-life balance is supported because we can't be interrupted by work at 9 p.m. or gradebook alerts, well, maybe, just maybe, we'll get back to talking about going blind from watching too much TV. So let's do some smart thinking. List how much time you spend on your device. Describe how you feel when you know there are posts, emails, and texts waiting for you. Create a process to protect those you serve from 168 hours of access per week to email. I dare you. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. Hey, as always, thank you for listening, and please remember to share this post on your social media platform only Between the Sevens, and rate this and other episodes on whichever platform you listen to it on. And like always, thank you to the Wellpennies for their music. And remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook so you can get your daily reflections and access to TH3. But again, only Between the Sevens. Finally, this episode was inspired by my research on engagement for employees and my wife, Megan. Megan is a teacher and an obnoxiously committed teacher, and I mean that in the best and most positive way. She easily works 70 hours per week, and on top of that, she manages all learning in our house. That's why I could intimately describe the impact of online gradebooks. But this episode and your challenge are real. It seems we've all lost our bearings when it comes to technology. I realize I sound like an old person, but at the end of the day, where are we heading when we can't go anywhere without being disconnected? The challenge is simple. First, to you personally, can you step away between the sevens? And if you have authority in a system, can you create the conditions so that people are protected from all the things that interfere with the lives of those that you serve? Our staff will still be able to write and send emails, but no one will get them until the next morning. People will likely be upset that they can't get our attention whenever they want it. But my hope and our team's desire is that others begin to realize that we don't want people in our organization to be labeled as having sleep issues, attention, memory, and learning problems, anxiety, addiction to technology, depression, emotion regulation issues, identity and relationship conflicts, lacking of empathy, and becoming narcissistic. I don't want that for anyone. So this week, be Buffalo and challenge yourself to be your best for others and support creating the conditions for balance for yourself and those you serve. Don't try to live between the sevens. Actually do it and find your bearings again and see how much more you can do for others when you feel less anxious and more balanced.